Shana Tova. I have two sermons on Israel that I want to give tonight. Make yourself comfortable. Actually, don't worry about it. I know of that strong Jewish tradition that sets a limit to just one sermon per service. Had I the opportunity, though, one sermon would be to share my love of Israel, a place that I lived for nearly 2 years, go back to when I can, and that I still see in semi-miraculous terms, the reestablishment of Jewish sovereignty after thousands of years. Overcoming the worst odds, Jews did not just survive the last thousands of years, though. We are now flourishing in many places around the world, including North America, here in the United Kingdom, and in the State of Israel. It's not often that we can point to a Jewish golden age happening in multiple places around the world at the same time, but we can today. Jewish life is thriving, vibrant, and creative here. We enjoy freedoms and opportunities that previous generations could have only dreamed of. And Jewish life is vibrant and thriving over there in Israel. Just the story of the Hebrew language is impressive. Israel is nearly 70 years old, but 140 years ago, twice Israel's age, Hebrew was much like Latin, used in certain religious circles and perhaps beneficial in academia, but not spoken as a first language anywhere in the world for thousands of years. Not anymore. By sheer willpower, the Israelis have brought the language back to life. The medieval Spanish Jewish poet Judah Halevi wrote, "My heart is in the east, but I am in the uttermost west." In the lifetime of people here today, Israel has been established, and now there is nothing preventing a Jew from anywhere in the world traveling to Israel, and even making a home there if they choose. And many have chosen. Millions of Jewish refugees fleeing all sorts of problems from all sorts of places have made their home in Israel. In 1990, Israel's population was just a bit more than 4.5 million. But from 1989 to 2006, nearly 1 million Russian Jews and their families made their way to Israel. Some people remember, or at least know of, the story of how under the Soviet Union, Jews were refused to leave. They came to be known as refuseniks. It was hard to be Jewish in the Soviet Union. Well, it was hard to be anything, from what I understand. But Jewish life was heavily restricted under Soviet law, and there are many accounts of institutionalized anti-Semitism. When Jews were finally allowed to leave, beginning in 1989, there was a massive migration, mostly to Israel. And to Israel's great credit, it welcomed a refugee group nearly a quarter the size of its entire population at the start. Integration is always challenging, but by 2012, the average salary of a Jew from the former Soviet Union was the same as someone born in Israel. It's not the only story of Israel welcoming people who had experienced oppression elsewhere. Whether it's from Eastern Europe, the Middle East, or Ethiopia, Israel has been a haven and a path to a better, freer life. And it's not just a country of refugees from elsewhere. Some Jews, inspired by Israel and Zionism, have freely chosen to make their home there, even though they had perfectly good choices elsewhere, too. Others come from families who have been there for a very, very long time, descended from Jewish families that never fled the land of Israel. Then there's all the personal reasons that I have for loving Israel, unique to me. I learned a lot when I was studying there, first at Tel Aviv University, then the Hebrew University, and finally Hebrew Union College, where I went to rabbinic school. And what I learned wasn't just the academic subjects. It was a time of real personal growth and development for me, when I was making decisions about what sort of life I wanted to lead and what sort of person I wanted to be. I was inspired and influenced in a great many ways by Israeli teachers, classmates, and friends. And I met Jody for the first time in Jerusalem. We both happened to be heading back to the same American city, Cincinnati. So maybe we would have met anyways, under different circumstances. But I know that this way, at least, that our family has its story beginning in Israel. So many other people that I know can talk about how their life changed dramatically and positively because of Israel, or at least while they were in Israel. Anyways, my first sermon topic would have gone on and on, recollecting all the many things that make Israel special. The second sermon that I would have given would have a very different tone. It has not been a good year to be a Reformed Jewish Zionist. After years of hearing about how the Western Wall, Judaism's most holy site, would finally have an equal space for egalitarian prayer, we learned that those plans were being put on hold indefinitely, and the status quo would remain. The status quo includes prohibiting women from even being in possession of a Torah scroll at the Western Wall, under penalty of arrest. Whether or not you even care about the wall, and plenty of Reformed Jews have mixed feelings or no feelings about it, the wall remains a powerful symbol. Equal access for all Jews means equal respect and equal rights for all Jews, including women. Denying a proper space for progressive, egalitarian Jewish prayer means that, ultimately, Israel is not as much a home for progressive Jews, especially, but not only women, as it is for Orthodox Jews, especially men. The whole ordeal reminds me of a passage in the Mishnah, the earliest rabbinic writings. It says, 10 miracles were performed for our ancestors in the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. They stood crowded, but each had ample space in which to prostrate themselves. And no one ever had reason to complain, "My lodging in Jerusalem is too cramped for me." If only we could have that miracle today. If only Reform and Orthodox Jews, men and women, could crowd together and still everyone would feel as though they had ample space. Sadly for the ultra-Orthodox establishment, the only way they feel they would be comfortable in their space would be to deny us a space of our own. Nearly simultaneously, the Cabinet Committee advanced a bill that would withdraw recognition of Jewish status from people who converted to Judaism under the Reform Movement in Israel. What many saw as the first step towards Israel not recognizing as Jewish anyone worldwide because they converted under Reform auspices. As a Jew committed to both the Reform Movement and Zionism, I was both saddened but also upset. This second sermon would protest the move by some in Israel to redefine the country as the home of Orthodox Jews only, not all Jews. Many diaspora Jews also have questions about the commitment of the Israeli government to issues that are important to them, including the two-state solution. Israeli Rabbi Daniel Hartman wrote that Israel cannot unilaterally make peace. It takes two. And Israel has made serious offers endorsed by the international community, only to have them rejected by the Palestinian Authority. At the same time, though, Israel should never stop pursuing peace. even when that pursuit seems futile. Some worry that Israel's present government has stopped that pursuit. For many of Israel's most passionate supporters, this simultaneous experience of love and frustration happens often. Nearly everyone who has toured Israel or spent time there has come away loving it. There is a national story that is inspiring, a history that is long and rich, and many accomplishments that instill pride. At the same time, Israel is a place of diverse commitments and ideas. Not everyone shares the same vision for what Israel should be, and sometimes we have to compete to have our voices and values heard and respected. Isn't that what real love is, though? Knowing that there are flaws and frustrations and still loving anyways. Loving a place, like loving a person, isn't being blind to its challenges or faults, but it means that we do not define a place by its faults, but rather we see the larger picture. There is an old joke about a Russian man who moved to Israel. He's talking to a Sabra, a native-born Israeli. The Sabra asks him what life was like in the Soviet Union. He says, "I couldn't complain." The Sabra continues, "And the food? You had enough to eat?" Same answer, "I couldn't complain." The Sabra asks more, "And your home, it was okay?" Again, "I couldn't complain." Finally, the Sabra asks him, "So why did you move to Israel?" "Ah, because here, I'm allowed to complain." Israel is worth loving, and we are blessed to have it exist in our lifetime. And out of our love, let us be committed to encouraging Israel to be the best it can be, welcoming of all Jews, Reform, Orthodox, and secular, pursuing peace at every opportunity, and living up to its own highest ideals in all ways. May the State of Israel and the people Israel around the world be blessed for a good year in 5778. Shana Tovah.